Welcome, welcome, welcome to another U Insider and Advisor Sooners YouTube Live powered by Riverwind Casino. My name is Brandon Drum, Parker Thune, Spencer Forsythe on the board. We got a special, special live for you guys today. Obviously, we're going to talk about the new stadium or the new arena they're going to be building in Norman. We are going to be talking about, Jay Vilai, obviously, the defensive back room, all that type of stuff. But we also have three-star new signee, LeBron Bauer from Allen, Texas, joining us on this live as well. Going to be a big, big live for you guys. Hope you guys enjoy it. Before we do all that, Parker, let's thank our sponsors.
You know what? We can save that. We'll get around
let's
to that.
Save that. Okay.
Let's make sure we don't bury the lead here and cut right to the chase. We have LeBron Bauer on the show. He never announced publicly that he had even received an offer from Oklahoma. So no doubt took a lot of people by surprise this morning when he officially became the 25th member of Oklahoma's 2026 recruiting class. Bron, awesome to have you. Appreciate you stopping by. First and foremost, though, as we get rolling here, for those that haven't heard or haven't read the story, if you could just kind of shed some light on how this all came together within the last week or so.
I mean, starting a couple weeks back, I kind of got, I would say my own thought in my mind that maybe OU was fully done with the class, you know, so I started looking my other options, weighing those options, and, you know, just come to shove, a week left before signing day, I get a call from GM, Coach Stacy Ford, Coach Venables, hit me up, call me, just commit on the spot.
That's really cool, man. Yeah, just talk about, you see that message. Yeah, you go over to OU Insider. Parker wrote about it a little bit in the story, but you see that message from Coach Stacy Ford saying, hey, I want to call you, or you give me a call. You get on the phone with them. Obviously, you said it's a FaceTime, and they get right to the point. Like, do they talk to you for a little bit? You said it had been like a month or two since you guys had talked, and it was kind of a surprise at that point. But how was your reaction to that? Obviously, you committed on the spot, but what was your instant reaction? Did you feel like the offer was coming at that point?
It was progressively, during the mid of my season, I was progressively like getting pursued by Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. But it was more hot before signing day, and came closer to the end, it kind of died down. So I would say I did push my hopes somewhere elsewhere, because I just thought, like, I'm just going to be real, I didn't think the opportunity was there. So when Coach called me, I was just, for one, I was shocked. I was frozen when I just, because I put two and two together, because I looked around who was in the room, because he just called me and was like, I got some people I want you to meet. And then just started talking. And then right when he told me, I burst into tears. I couldn't even, I couldn't even handle the situation. You know, committed on spot, told my parents, and then it was like that.
That's really, really cool, man.
Incredible, man. For those just joining, this is LeBron Bauer, three-star Oklahoma cornerback signee, and their lone addition to the recruiting class here on the February signing day. It used to be the case that you'd see a lot more signees in February. These days, they're sparse, they're few and far between, but an outstanding, valuable addition for Oklahoma here on this February signing day in the form of LeBron Bauer. And man, you'd mentioned Oklahoma was always your dream school. This was the one you wanted, but for the longest time, it didn't look like that opportunity was going to come. Take us behind the scenes of the arc of your recruitment a little bit, because obviously you've had a tremendously productive career there at Allen. But if not for OU, where do you think you would be headed today?
Just being real, I would probably be heading to Houston over there with Coach Marcus Trice. But, you know, OU's was mostly on me my sophomore, junior year. It picked up out of nowhere, you know. Went down there for a spring practice my sophomore year, kicked it off with Coach Vilai, and then I ended up going to the junior day. And then I ended up seeing, like, I think my junior year ended up seeing, like, three games. And, you know, it's just always been my dream school because I have personal connections with players on the team, you know, just, like, being down there in the North Texas area, I was just really, like, fond of, like, Eli Bowen, because we would always train with the same trainer. And then, obviously, Peyton. And then, you know, just going on those visits, you, like, you – they the OU players sort of take you in. More players, like, RJ and Woody when he was there, just Billy, just all those guys were just cool to take me in, and just every time I was down there, just kept talking to me. So I was just amazed. I was like, I want to be a part of something like this.
So you train with Coach Flight then, huh?
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's one of the best to do it right there, man. Did you know that Marcus Trice played at Oklahoma? Just out of curiosity.
Yep, I did know that.
Okay. I just wanted to. So he was there, and I believe it was 2010 and 11, if I remember correctly. But that's wild. Like the connection there. You talk about the North Texas connection and how much that meant to you. Just throughout your process. But you also have another, close addition that's signed with Oklahoma and Markelle Ford. Can you talk about your relationship there with him, what that meant as far as this process to you, and how much of a role did he play in maybe keeping you at least with one eye over there just in case Oklahoma came calling?
Definitely, for one, he was a big part in my recruitment. I've just known, well, I call him Didi. I know he's Markel, but
DD.
Didi has just been just a great friend of me. All my 4 years of high school, we played on numerous 7-on-7s together, have trained together, have spent the night together, just all the things above. So, we had the vision, and when it started getting in the works, we just really sat back and thought, like, if we have the opportunity to go to the same college, it's going to be special because we're just going to push each other every single day. We have that same competitive nature, just ready to get in and work. So we knew that was going to be special. And then even him, he played a big part in my recruitment, just hammering in the coaches, hey, my guy, he's ready. He'll come anytime. He was always just putting me out there to the coaches. He played a amazing part in my recruitment.
Bron, what's it like being committed to and now signed with a school where you don't necessarily know who's going to be coaching you in that cornerback room? Obviously it's going to be Coach Venable's defense, but not quite sure right now after Coach Fly's departure who the cornerback's coach is going to be.
I mean, like I said, though, defense has always been in good hands. Oklahoma defense is what they're known for. So I just mainly put my trust in Coach Venables. Coach Vali, mainly the guy who recruited me out my 2 to 3 years by getting recruited by Oklahoma, had a great situation with him. But even as I had a relationship with him, he brought me to connect with the other OU coaches, which strengthened my connections with them. So I have all trust and our staff and what we got to go in. Who knows, like I've even they want me as a hybrid, so I don't as much as I could play corner, I've already devoted myself to being of weight. I'm 175, 170 right now. That's corner weight, but obviously before, I don't want to wait till I get there to put on. I want to come on campus at like 185, 190, 195 to obviously be SEC ready. So that I'm a hybrid. So I just honestly trust the coaching staff. Whoever they bring in, I know it'll be elite because that's what Coach Venables does, always has an elite staff.
Do you throw the silencer down whenever you have a pick? Just out of curiosity.
I'd be all over the place. I kind of just me on the football field is a different person than off the field. So we got two totally different mentalities. So I just be. Sometimes I don't even be knowing what I'm doing. I just be so in the game, just doing my thing. So
So
I'll
there's
have
no
memories. No,
celebration, no silencer. You're not pushing down the LeBron silencer.
our coaches at Allen don't play that. So
I got you. I got
they
you.
like,
No, that tracks. That tracks with Allen for sure.
Yeah, man. When you think about what the future looks like at Oklahoma, obviously one of the things that stands out about a program like that is just how loyal that fan base is and their level of adoration for anybody that wears the uniform, and especially the guys that go out there and perform and produce. If you think there's one thing about you that this fan base is going to come to appreciate, what do you think that is?
I think mainly it's just my competitive nature and hunger. And then it's just like, I don't really care who's in front of me. I'm just gonna go after it. I'm gonna give my full effort. And then just knowing that, like, just I'm used to I'm not used to I mean, my bad. I'm used to like hard ways. I've never got anything the easy way. I've worked for all I've had. So just knowing that I'm gonna come in and get it every day, and I just want to get on the field however way that is. Like I said, a lot of people notice me from my special teams. I definitely believe I'll start on every single special teams my true freshman year, and then that'll be my way. I'll find my way on the field. So just my competitive nature.
Talked to somebody yesterday about you. They said your wiring was special, and that goes a little bit about what you just said. You're wired special, very special, and that you'll play at OU. Like they wholeheartedly believe like you're going to be that guy that's going to come in and play early. What does that mean to you? Like when somebody says you're wired differently, you're wired special, what do you think they're talking about when it comes to who you are as a player, who you are as a person, who you are as in your work ethic, whatever it is?
Well, mainly I think my wire is just mainly my mentality, because my mentality is to kill. So like, just whatever I have in front of me, I'ma just get after it, because just like I've never really just had it given to me on a silver platter throughout my whole football career, even from my ninth grade year from moving to Allen, because I was at Longview. Nobody knew me. Nobody knew who I was. I wasn't even on the defensive side of the ball. So just I've never my life has been full of adversity. So it's just I'm gonna always get up and keep fighting. Like we even said, it's very rare that a program like Oklahoma is gonna come and sign a kid a week left within signing period, especially these recruiters or these On3 Arrivals people would say a very low ranked person. But I mean, I haven't quite frankly looked at my recruiting profile, I would say, since my sophomore year, because I
I don't
mean
blame you.
they had, for one, they even have my they don't have my offers on there, my height and waist listed wrong. So I just really stopped caring. I looked at that stuff sophomore year, but I stopped looking at that a long time ago, because the eye in the sky don't lie. You just turn the film on or you come to a game and you'll find out.
Well, and you say you appreciate that about the OU staff as well. The reality that they're not just looking through the recruiting sites at who the top ranked guys are. No, they're being intentional about evaluating and watching film. And as you put it, going to find a dog. And that's what Jim Nagy and this Oklahoma front office have proven has been their approach and will continue to be their approach moving forward. Man, as you get ready to get settled in that cornerback room up at Oklahoma, you mentioned the relationship with Eli Bowen that goes back to y'all's training days together. But stepping into a room like that where you have two guys at the top of the food chain in Eli Bowen and Courtland Guillory that are two of the best young corners in the entire SEC, how much are you looking forward to just learning and absorbing what you can from those guys your first year on campus as you get situated?
For one, it's just a blessing just knowing that you have that caliber of talent that you can look up to, learn from, play alongside. But even that's going to raise my bar to exceed my limits even farther, because I'm going to be thinking every day in the back of my head, dang, I got to go get Eli. Dang, I got to go get Cortland. These are the guys that I have to beat out to play in front of me. So I'm just blessed to even have them on my team, because that'll make me just work each and every harder every day, because I'm like, I got an SEC freshman All-American in front of me. I got to go 50 times harder. So I even thank them for being on my team, on the team. But just by that, I know it's just going to push me to work 1,000 times harder.
You talk about who you look up to, and I don't know if anybody from Oklahoma has even talked to you about this. There's a guy back in like 2008, 2009. He's on the opposite side of the ball. He's a wide receiver, named Joaquin Iglesias from Gilmore, Texas, that picked up an offer from the University of Oklahoma literally days before and was a no-name. Nobody really knew who he was. He ends up being one of the best wide receivers in OU history. Like if you were going down like top 20 wide receivers, he would be in that category with most people. And has anybody talked to you about situations like that at Oklahoma that have come about or anything of that sort that, just a late guy, they show up and for some odd reason at OU, those types of, they show up and they end up being dogs at OU for some reason. Has anybody even shown you the list of players that have done that in the past at OU? Because I think it's pretty extensive, actually.
No, me and Coach Stacy Ford just talk a lot. We have a really good relationship. We talk on the phone all the time, and there's always gonna like, I mean, in certain people's mindsets, gonna creep into your mind like, oh, these guys got me late. Oh, I'm just a roster spot fill. Oh, they're not taking me serious. Oh, they're not recruiting me serious. But I mean, it's all really about the mentality you have and just knowing the situation you're in. Like maybe just in the back of my mind, oh, These signees are already on campus. They're going to be a couple months ahead of me. So that's just going to, just like I paraphrased with the last thing, it's just going to make me work 20 times harder, just knowing what I have to do, that I have to pick up the playbook faster, that I have to learn stuff faster, that I have to be of weight, of speed, of condition while when I walk on the program. It's just a mentality thing to me. Just knowing I don't want it the easy way. I want the challenge, and I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome.
Ron, man, we greatly appreciate you stopping by. Before we cut you loose here and let you go, when you step onto that field for the first time in the Crimson and Cream, when you run out of that tunnel in front of 84,000 people at Owen Field, what do you think is going to be going through your head?
Just looking up in the sky, thanking God, mainly just that he put me in this position, because without him, I couldn't have did it. Like a lot of people wrote me off, and I never thought it was going to end up being like this. So I'm just going to thank God and just never not want to be a Sooner. Just stay here my whole college career and grind it out.
That's awesome, man. Really appreciate you coming on with us. Really, really do. I don't have another question. You got another one? You good, Parker?
Yeah, no, we're good.
Man, I
Yes, sir. Let the
appreciate you,
man have
Ron.
his Wednesday evening back.
Yeah, yes, sir.
We
All good.
appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
Yes, sir. That was LeBron Bauer, the new three-star signee, joining us. The only signee that Oklahoma had during the February signing period. And as you all can see, mentality. And that goes exactly with the person I talked to. And I wrote that up on the board earlier today, Parker, when they said, he's wired special. And you can see it in that interview, his answers, concise, but to the point. And you can tell that he has a boulder on his shoulder right now to come into Norman and prove right. Because a lot of times, the late signees, like he said, they get written off. Oh, well, they're there just like he said to take a roster spot, or they're not getting NIL, or they're not doing that. But the funny thing is those type of kids end up, if they don't make it at their first stop, they make it somewhere because they're pissed off at the world over that ordeal. And I love it. And I think that's going to change a little bit of the attitude in the cornerback room, because he's not going to come in thinking somebody's just going to push him around. Obviously, he knows Eli Bowen. He's going to want to learn from them. He's going to want to learn from Cortland, from Jacoby Johnson, those older guys, right? But I don't think he's going to come in and think, I'm going to take a back seat, though. You can totally tell that's not his mindset at all.
Yeah. Well, and to anybody that has not watched the tape on
Oh,
LeBron
yeah, go
Bauer, to
do it.
anybody that's just writing him off as some three-star throw-in at the tail end of the recruiting cycle, which he referenced, there will be folks and there have been folks that have said that. But when you turn on the tape, I think it's immediately going to be evident what Oklahoma sees in LeBron Bauer. This is not just a try-hard guy. This is not just an effort guy. This is a guy that is extremely technically proficient. He's gritty. He's aggressive. And as he mentioned, he can do a little bit of everything. He's not just a cover corner. He's somebody that's going to show up, embrace a role on special teams, do whatever it takes to get on the field. And then once he jams his foot in the door, man, he's going to be doing everything in his power to kick it all the way down. So love the addition for Oklahoma. Love the fact that it gets them to 25, Brandon. That's the perfect
Yeah.
number in my mind for a recruiting class. That's very seldom does it actually wind up being exactly 25, but in my eyes, that's always been the perfect number. You can get 25 signees. That's exactly where you should be every single year if your roster is turning over the way you want it to and the way you need it to. Before we move any further, I want to get a quick word in from our sponsors. Riverwind Casino is our presenting sponsor here on OU Insider Live. Riverwind Casino has been the metro area's premier gaming destination for nearly 2 decades. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Thanks also to our good friends over at Janet King, the greatest team to ever clean and a proud partner of OU Athletics, delivering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. Check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to janaking.com. And folks, with this, I'm sorry, I almost said the words I can't say. With the big NFL game this weekend upon us, There's no better way to cash in during America's biggest sporting event than Prize Picks, where it always feels good to be right. And this week, Prize Picks has a special max discount for the big game live in the app now. Drake May needs just one passing yard for the max discount to win. Just add another player to your lineup, and if your picks hit, you can cash in. With the new social feeds feature on Prize Picks, you can share picks with your friends and copy lineups from winners with a single click. Copy lineups you like or just use them as inspiration for your own picks. You can even follow Prize Picks partners like us and tail or fade our picks with just one click. Prize Picks also now has early payouts. If your player gets off to a hot start, you now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code OUINSIDER to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code OUINSIDER to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. And finally, a word from Brunt Workwear. Folks, choosing work boots used to mean sacrificing comfort or durability. If they felt good, they didn't last. And if they lasted, they wrecked your feet. Brunt thought that was BS. So they built tough boots that feel great from day one. No break-in, no sore feet, because people out there doing the real work shouldn't have to choose between comfort and durability. And Brunt stands behind what they make. You can wear your Brunt work boots to work. And if they're not right for you, send them back. I don't know any other brand doing that. That's a company that believes in their product. Brunt was tired of the workwear brands out there cutting corners. You work too hard to be stuck in uncomfortable boots that don't hold up. So they built something better, boots that are insanely comfortable and built for any job site. Now, for a limited time, our listeners are going to get $10 off at Brunt when you use code OUINSIDER at checkout. Just head to bruntworkwear.com, use the code OUINSIDER, and you're good to go. After you order, they'll ask where you heard about Brunt. Do us a favor and tell them you heard about it on OU Insider Live.
All right. It's been a whole 48 hours since they announced Jay Vilai, or a little bit more than 48, I guess. Probably closer to what, 60 hours since they have announced Jay Vilai has left the University of Oklahoma, headed to be the assistant head coach for the Buffalo Bills and their cornerbacks coach. The position is open. It is going to be a very hotly sought after position. We've talked about some names: T.J. Rushing, Ray Brown, Brandon Shelby, obviously Gabe Lynn. I'm trying to think of all the names off the top of my head. Xavier Brewer, obviously, who's already on staff, and then obviously, who else am I missing here off the top of my head?
Brandon Shelby.
I said Shelby. I said Shelby. I basically said all the OU connected guys. I guess Mike Reed. Mike Reed's the other one I didn't talk about, which would be interesting. You know what would be hilarious, though, is if Oklahoma went and grabbed Marcus Trice, because he did play for Brent Venables.
Yeah, I just.
I know, I know. I'm just saying the full circle with LeBron Bauer. I know. Just totally. I don't think that's happening, obviously, nor do I think there's much of a chance. But. And then watch me be completely wrong. I said that, but I mean, it would be hilarious. It would be funny. But yeah, look, this job, Parker, is going to be one of the more sought after position coaches in all of college football throughout the whole coaching carousel because of what Jay Vilai left in the cupboard. Like, you're talking about two freshmen All-Americans. And Eli Bowen and obviously Courtland Guillory. You're talking about a surefire NFL guy in Jacoby Johnson, size, speed, everything. He's for everything that he's going to do at the combine or the pro day, he is a scout's dream as far as metrics go and measurements. Now, he still has to continue to develop, but yes. Scouts, teams will take a chance on Jacoby Johnson for all the right reasons. Obviously, they're deep, right? We haven't even seen, right? Tristan Haynes. Like, he has a chance to be really, really good, long, rangy, fast. Hasn't even touched the field. He's a Carl Albert guy, so you know he's probably going to pan out. Those guys tend to pan out, right? It's just deep, Parker. That room is deep, it's talented, and just so much to be had if you are that coach that is lucky enough to be chosen to fill that void.
Jay Valai set things up very nicely for whoever Oklahoma's next cornerbacks coach will be. It is no surprise that there have been candidates across the industry that have reached out to OU since this job became available and have inquired about it. Now, Oklahoma's also in a very luxurious position here in the sense that they don't have to make a decision fast. It's February. There's not a lot of shifting sands at this point across the coaching world. So it's not like it would be in late November or early December when you have to hire a guy. Otherwise, you have to look over your shoulder at four or five other schools that might be trying to hire the guy for a vacancy on their staff. Right now, everything is pretty settled. And so Oklahoma is afforded the luxury of being able to sit back, evaluate their options thoroughly, and make an informed decision about who is best for the role. Now, when can you expect to hire? I would say probably not tomorrow, probably not this week. I think next week, maybe the week after, is a reasonable timeline. Oklahoma's going to be thorough here, and they should be thorough. They need to be thorough. We've seen Oklahoma rush one hire in the Brent Venables era, and we know how that turned out. They rushed to promote Seth Luttrell to the offensive coordinator role instead of thoroughly evaluating all of the options that were out there. And so, especially given the juncture on the calendar at which we sit, I anticipate Brent Venables being very measured in how he approaches this and seeking the counsel of the informed decision maker. And well, I ultimately BV is going to be the decision maker, but seeking the counsel of the informed parties in that building whose opinions he trusts. Randall Stephenson, for instance, as chair of athletics, has been involved in what feels like pretty much every single major decision. No doubt he will weigh in. Venable's probably going to bounce some ideas off of his three assistants that have been with him from the jump at Oklahoma, and Brandon Hall, Miguel Chavis, and Todd Bates. This is the first time he's ever had to hire a cornerbacks coach, so you want to make sure this is a guy that can mesh well with the other staffers on that side of the ball. So, not something that I would expect is going to happen fast, but certainly a hire that you trust Brent Venables and his motley crew of confidants to be able to do correctly. You would expect that they're going to make the right hire, whoever that may be.
I want people to like, everybody's going to hear what you said and they're going to think, well, they're going to wait till like March. No, they're not going to wait. It's not going to be till March to do that. I heard, this is what I heard, and take it for what it is, could be a grain of salt. I heard within the next 7 to 14 days, you'll probably know who it is. Because they want, I think people need to also realize that spring ball starts up at the, middle of March. And they have a huge junior day on March 7th. So they want everything established by then. They want relationships at least started to be built up by the time these recruits show up on campus. And it's not the first time they're talking to said defensive back coach. Now, it could turn out to be that way because that's just how the cookie crumbled and how things fell in. And that'd be the first time, that happened. But I seriously doubt that's how OU wants to operate. When you have such a big junior day, and that's something we're going to discuss over the next few weeks. That junior day on March 7th is going to be a freaking, it's going to be a well of a junior day, a behemoth of a junior day. It's going to be the who's who in recruiting. And it's going to have some five stars, not some, several five stars will be in town as long as their schedules line up, naturally. But the expectation is several five stars will be in town. Lots of rivals, 100, 250, 300 players will be in town. Lots of four stars. If it's 27, 28, and they're the elite guys on OU's board, they want them there. And here's the cool thing about it. Like, there's no such thing as unofficial visits really anymore, Parker. Like, those things don't exist anymore. Like, we all know that, right? Like, that's kind of the NIL world of things. So you see the Oregons of the world, that's how they do it. Like everybody does that nowadays. It's just going to be how things operate. How if they can get the kids there, if they can't get the kids there, that's just the way it is nowadays with NIL. But You've got to be able to get as many kids as possible for this big junior day because OU's going in. They're going full bore with one, Parker. Normally they have like two or three, right? Up to this point, we've already seen at least two. You've seen like the young guys. You would have a 28, 29 this year, and then you would have the 27 all by themselves. Like, so you probably have about three by now. There's been zero. If you want to count the one last week because they had two five stars and Cooper Witten and the Coopers were in town, and then the offensive lineman and Gabriel Osborne, there was like seven or eight guys there. I don't know that you would count that as a junior day. You can, but I wouldn't. This thing
It
is
was a
going.
day on which there were juniors on campus,
Fair enough.
but yeah, by the conventional definitions, no. Oklahoma's
No.
first junior day is going to be March 7th.
And they're throwing all their eggs in that basket, essentially. No, I expect. Do we even know what they're going to do for the spring game or whatever they call it? What is it called now? Crimson Day or
I think the
whatever.
spring game's coming back.
You feel that way, huh?
I do. Well, why did they do away with the spring game? Consider. They did away with the spring game because of the spring portal window, which no longer exists.
That's actually a really good point. I didn't think about that, but I guess you could call it kind of
That's
OTA,
just the
kind of like an
buzz I've
OTA.
heard. That's just the buzz I've heard. I'm not reporting that as fact, but that is what I have heard in that
Yeah, retract
regard.
a little bit.
Yeah, I mean that is what I have heard is going to happen is that the spring game is going to be making a return. So should that come to fruition, again, like it's sensible. It makes sense why that would happen because Oklahoma pulled it off the schedule initially because so many programs across the country were concerned about the opportunity for other programs, or I should say the opportunity that other programs had to scout their guys in their spring games and then snag them in the spring portal window. Well, you eliminate the spring portal window, there's no longer anything to be worried about in that regard. So the spring game can return, it should return, and I believe it will return.
That would be huge because I guess you could probably treat it kind of like an OTA, like they do in the NFL, which is I've felt it, and maybe I'm crazy, Parker, but this has always been my, if you really want to create more buzz and more NIL, hear me out on this. Maybe I'm stupid with this idea. The NFL has open practices, right? For the most part, like at least the first few weeks of fall camp, right? And even during their OTAs or their voluntary workouts and stuff like that, when the rookies and everybody shows up, it's open for the public. And maybe you pay, maybe you don't. I don't know because I've never been. So I don't understand how all that works. But having said that, if you said you were going to open up a practice a week during the spring, are you kidding me? And it charged $15 a head to get in there, and they did it inside the stadium. That's how you could make money throughout all of spring, if not do two practices a week where you open it up. And maybe instead of just the spring game, you do a scrimmage. You do a scrimmage in the spring game where you have all the fans charge 15, 20 bucks a head. You would make. I think you can make a couple million dollars extra that you could put in the NIL fund, right? For the collective. I'm just throwing things out, Parker, like, and make it to where there are signings and there's ways for you to have upgrades to where the school is part of their profit sharing. I don't know. It just feels like there's got to be a better way to do this throughout the university to help raise funds. Because they still ask for the One Oklahoma stuff. That's still a part of the profit sharing, the collective separate, but it's not. I don't know. I chat, super chat, we're still doing that. If you have questions, throw that in there, all that. But Parker, your thoughts on that? Is that a wild idea? You think it's feasible? By any means? I don't know. I don't know how that
I don't know
works.
how many people would pay to attend a practice, but I think
I
it's
mean,
good just
thousands do it for the NFL, though,
I think it's
daily.
a good idea just from a PR standpoint to open up practice every now and again. Like, take the example of what Kenny Dillingham does at Arizona State. Every single practice they hold is open to the public.
Yeah.
And that's by design. And granted, he doesn't work at the University of Oklahoma. It's a different animal down in Tempe, Arizona, than it is in Norman, Oklahoma. Arizona State football isn't necessarily the thing in the state of Oklahoma. OU football is the thing in the state of Oklahoma. I said Arizona State football isn't the thing in the state of Oklahoma. I meant Arizona, obviously. But he's competing with several other sports teams in the immediate vicinity for the eyes and ears and attention of fans in the area. Oklahoma doesn't have a ton of competition in that regard. Even so, I don't know how many people are going to be paying 15, 20 bucks a head to go attend a practice. But if maybe once or twice, maybe once or twice over the course of the spring, you open practice up to whoever wanted to attend. Say, hey, you want to drop by, you want to see the team practice, you can do that. I think that's a good that's a good olive branch. That's meeting the average fan where he or she is, which I think is something that athletic departments are going to need to do in the coming years, because with every year that we get deeper and deeper into the NIL brand era, Brandon, it feels like there is more and more being asked of the fan and less being given to the fan. So
Totally agree with that.
if you can extend something, a goodwill offering to the average fan in that capacity, I think that goes a long way towards just maintaining the level of buy-in from the public towards your program.
Yeah, I don't know. The olive branch needs to happen. They've got to start doing more for the fan. You can't sit there and ask them to give, and then take more than you're, I guess, giving out. Because the more you ask for money, and the less you are open to the fans. And look, I get it. Coaches are by nature very untrustworthy, very, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Paranoid is the word I'm looking for. They're paranoid, super paranoid. And it's not their fault. They don't want to get cheated. I mean, hell, Barry Switzer's admitted to film the spinal Darren Royals stuff back in the day. Like, I think that stuff's funny. Like, they were doing it back then. Now you have the HD, the 4K cameras, right? That you can zoom in. This iPhone right here, I was in the mountains. You could see Denver downtown from where we were at in Boulder. It was crazy, Parker. Like, just crazy zoom on this bad boy. And so you're going to be able to get whatever you want and film whatever you want and get all the access. And I get being scared and afraid of that, but I have news for all the coaches. It's just a little secret. They've all seen it. They all know what you have. Your every game you play is televised. All you have to do is type it into YouTube and you can see everything you ever want on any team ever. There's no secrets anymore. And I think that's, to me, I think the paranoia is overdone. And yeah. By the way, I don't want to be the one to break this. I just got a text message. But I'm going to do it anyways. I was just got a text message that said the spring game is on the calendar for the I'll just say 2 days before April 20th. So that's 2 days before my birthday. You take it. I don't want to be the one to ruin it because I just, but yeah, I was told maybe April 18th is a good day to have a spring game if they were going to do it. So Parker was right. You can thank Parker for that. So yeah.
Teamwork.
Yep.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool if that really pans out. Now, they haven't announced it, so we don't know if it's going to be officially done, but it's in the works at least. So that's cool. And you
Thank
heard
the
it here
Lord we
first.
can leave 2025 in 2025. We can all remember that as the bizarre year where the Crimson Combine happened in front of like 8,000 people.
So right now, April 18th is looking like it could be a spring game. How about that? That's pretty cool.
It's the modern day
Parker.
equivalent of Y2K. Where were you when Y2K was going down? Where were you the day of the Crimson Combine?
The
You can say you
Crimson
were in the building
Combine.
for the Crimson
Oh.
Combine. You were a part of history.
Yeah. I didn't go to that last year. You did you?
I was there.
Yeah, I forgot. No, I was at a 717 event. That's right. I was at 717. How was it? Just honestly.
It was a highly forgettable experience.
Your face when I asked that said all I needed to know. You just were like biting your lip, like, how should I word this answer? Without getting
If
scolded
they
later
held another
on.
one this year, I probably wouldn't go. That's
Fair
what
enough.
me and Jesse Crittenden and I were remarking as we were leaving the stadium. Yeah, if they do this again next year, I don't know if we're going to bother showing up.
Fair enough. So, on another good news note for fans, how about this? The arena being approved, the Oklahoma Supreme Court overruling everything and saying it's a go for Norman, the entertainment district, all of that. That is, you talk about a win, Parker. That's a win for you fans that care about basketball. And I think people care. I think people hate the Lloyd Nobles so bad because the atmosphere sucks. There's no place for you to like most places you can go to the bar or restaurant before the game, hang out, make a day of it. At OU, it's the intramural fields, the soccer fields, and the indoor tennis is right there. Oh, and I think swimming is across the street.
You can stop at Sonic or you can stop at Rudy's Barbecue. Those are your two options.
Yeah, not ideal. Or you can smell the sewage when you walk out, then that too. You know what I'm talking about. That's a lovely smell. Lovely smell, particularly on which way the wind's going. It gets pretty ripe sometimes. But yeah, I just. To have bars and restaurants and stuff to make it to where, and people are worried about the students, Parker, which I think Uber and Lyft exist, and they will, I'm sure they'll shuttle people like they do anyways to
Heck,
the football
you
games.
could make that trek on a Lime scooter.
You probably could. You probably could. That's fair too. I just think it's a win. I think it's huge. It's just unfortunate to me that it's not closer to Campus Corner because I think if they can make it closer to Campus Corner, that would be really cool if everything was involved. Campus Corner, just all on that, around that oval area, that would have been really cool. But that's never going to happen because the
No, yeah.
infrastructure is not there.
Unfortunately, Evans Hall is not moving anytime soon.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, I think it's a good area as far as just the level of public interest and engagement goes. Like, 'cause you can't, like, that's a very, very, within the context of the city of Norman, that's a very bustling type of area when it comes to retailers and restaurants and. I mean, pretty much all the best restaurants in Norman, with a few exceptions, are kind of right there off I-35 and Robinson in that shopping center. So there's going to be a lot going on around the venue. The venue, when it is completed, is obviously going to be state of the art. It'll be pretty intimate. It's not going to be huge, which I think is good, Brandon. I am all in favor of smaller college
Totally
basketball
agree with
arenas.
that. Yeah.
I would much rather have a venue that seats 8,000 and is packed than a venue that seats 15,000 and is somewhat sparsely attended. And I think by the time the basketball arena is completed, we can hope, right? We can hope OU men's basketball is back on track. They're going to have a new coach by then. I feel quite qualified to go ahead and issue that proclamation. The Sooners are losing 53 to 36 right now. in Rupp Arena to Kentucky. They are on the verge of losing their ninth straight basketball game. The school record for consecutive losses is 10. So the Sooners will have a chance to make the wrong kind of history this weekend when they go on the road to face number 18 Vanderbilt.
Yeah. They need so much help. I can't. It disgusts me where OU men's basketball's at. I'm sorry. I grew up, and Parker, you did too. But I grew up through Billy Tubbs as well. Shows my age a little bit. So during my, I guess, formative years, Billy Tubbs and Kelvin Sampson were the coaches. So I didn't know sucky basketball at OU at all. At all. That didn't happen until Jeff Capel, after Blake Griffin left. It turned into crap. But it was only a short period of time because Long
Well, that's the
Cook
thing.
Around.
You can forgive a coach. You can forgive the program for a one-off year. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
Lon Kruger had a bad year. I think that was 2018. It was either the year before Trey or the year after Trey. They were just not very good. But you knew better days were ahead.
Yeah.
It's a strikingly different sensation when you're evaluating this 2025-26 team, everything that preceded it. And, you know, when you're trying to make sense of what's to come, there's really not all that much to get excited about. Beyond this year, this program still doesn't have a capable big man. They're graduating their guards. They're graduating their best shooter in Nigel Pack. There's going to be a ton of turnover again for the umpteenth offseason in a row. And this is really just that, yes, they've hit rock bottom for where they've been in the Porter Moser era, but this has been very conspicuously festering for some time. This was a foreseeable type of campaign.
Yes.
And this was a foreseeable type of skid.
You can't have 9, 10 new players every year and expect to not eventually just hit rock bottom. And the unfortunate part is if I was going to sit back and say and pick a season where that was going to happen, honestly, maybe last year would have been the year that I thought that Oklahoma, or maybe the year before, I can't remember which one, where the talent was just not there. That, of course, I had Jeremiah Fears last year, but this squad right here, top to bottom, is probably his most talented squad rostered, like full
and
fledged.
They suck.
And they're awful. They're awful. It doesn't make sense. The SEC, this year's squad is so much more talented last year. And I get, yeah, Jeremiah Fears, you had a top 5, 10 pick, you know, leading the way as a freshman. That changes things. That's going to change everything. Jeremiah Fears probably made OU a lot better than what they really were last year.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Well, and like you can't really, even if you don't agree that this is a strong roster, you can't blame this 8-game losing streak on the roster. When you look at how these losses have occurred, they're not getting their doors blown off by SEC. They're getting their doors blown off tonight by Kentucky. They are. But the majority of these losses, Brandon, have been losses in games that were very winnable, that Oklahoma in many cases controlled at times and just couldn't finish. Tensed up down the stretch, missed shots, missed opportunities, and just got sloppy.
Yeah,
and who has to wear the blame for that?
Porter has to horribly wear the blame for that. And there has been a comment in the chat that Porter and BV have a lot of similarities. I would totally disagree with that. But I think you can, if your similarities as in they're both high energy guys, okay, yeah. But BV has leaned on development of talent through the high school ranks. That's been his saving grace, actually, is that he went out and recruited really good classes. And yeah, he had a skid in 2024 with that youth. But now look what's going to happen. He's going to have a really talented roster as long as they can keep it, right? As long as attrition doesn't bite him in the butt over the foreseeable future. That's the crazy part about it. Like, he's allowed Oklahoma the ability to develop, to go get that 26 class, whether there's a bunch of freshmen, and develop those guys before they have to touch the field. Because he said, you know what? We're going to hit some bumps. We're going to hit some growing pains. Maybe not how they wanted to in 2024, but the way he's gone about it and the consistency in which he's attacked recruiting has allowed Oklahoma to be where they're at on the football field. And so I totally disagree with that. How many players has Porter had over the years where they've had multiple years at Oklahoma? Maybe 10 total in like a 4-year span, 12?
And how many of them have stayed 3 years? There have been some that have stayed two. How many have stayed three?
I don't know. There may be somebody, maybe a bench warmer. I don't know. I can't think of one off the top of my head. Is there one?
Yaya Kito was around for 3 years on the back end of the bench.
So there
Out
you go.
outside of that?
Maybe Dayton Forsythe next
No,
year.
he's only been here 2 years.
I said, and that's why I said next year would be his
Is
third
Porter
year.
going to be here next year? I think the safe answer is no.
No.
But I think that's it. Am I forgetting someone? Am I
I don't think
overlooking
so.
someone? He got 2 years
Yeah.
out of Milos Uzan, 2 years out of Otega Owe, and there have been a bunch of 1 year rentals along the way. It's year two for Muhammad Wagee, I guess. I should do that research. I need to find out whether anybody besides Yaya Kita has been on Porter Moser's roster for 3 seasons at Oklahoma.
Yeah, I don't I can't think of anybody. That's the crazy part. It just hasn't been good. I mean, it just hasn't been consistent in what one NCAA tournament bid in that time. I mean, that's just, it's not right. I look, the good news is spring football's gonna be coming around the corner here pretty soon. So we'll be able to talk about that. We'll be able to talk about 7-on-7 camps or 7-on-7 tournaments, camps coming around. The Under Armour camps are coming around here over the next few weeks. We've got the Orlando one on the 22nd. The end of March, end of February, excuse me, is going to be the Dallas one. So we'll be at that. I'm trying to work out. I'm trying to work out the Orlando one here, but yeah, there's going to be a lot of recruiting, a lot of stuff that we're going to be able to talk about. The big junior day. I'm excited for this spring, to be honest with you, because I think over the next 10 weeks, I think Oklahoma gets on another run here, Parker, with recruiting. I think so. I think, do we think we see commitments before March 7th? I'm not sure we do. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. Oh, yeah, maybe one. Maybe one. Zane Rowe would be the one I think about if it's before March 7th, but I know he's teetering there. And I can't wait. The other thing I can't wait is when you and I get to go start hitting up schools again. And that's usually the fun part. So, and all that's going to start coming around. So we're kind of in a lull a little bit right now, which is a good time for Parker and I to recharge our batteries. And then it's off to the races again for another 9, 10 months. So we're about to have, start having a lot of recruiting stuff. I'm going to have my defensive predictions on OU Insider VIP before the end of the week, or at least by Sunday is my hope. Did the offensive predictions last week, and we'll keep track and see how spot on I am with this stuff. But we have daily updates on OUinsider.com. We have daily basketball, softballs starting up, so Jesse Crittenden's going to have that covered for you. So much going on over there at OUinsider.com. So make sure you go over there to OUinsider.com, type it in your URL code, and just join us. $1 gets you through the door. Pretty simple. Or you can subscribe to this YouTube, subscribe to whatever podcasting platform you listen or watch us on. We do that. It helps us out with advertisements, helps with our travel, all that type of stuff, bringing more and more content daily on the YouTube and podcasting platforms. The more you guys subscribe, the more content we bring. So thank you guys for joining us on this version of the OU Insider and the Visor Sooners YouTube Live powered by Riverwind Casino. For Parker Thune, for Spencer Forsythe on the board, my name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed day.